wants to go, if of age, anyone else that I've missed, if you'd like to go to Junior Connect, they have that every couple of weeks. They like to hang out and do their own thing. Not really. They do stuff that we ask them to do so that we're all on the same page, and Kids Church are doing exactly the same. In fact, I've just been told we have at least 6 children to be water baptised on the 16th of November. That's going to be fun, isn't it? So this morning I thought we'd talk about water baptism, because next week we've got Jason Schrader with us and we've got a class on the 9th of November. And even if you have been water baptised, I'm sure this will help to some degree, even if you just get some teaching this morning. But I always find that there's normally one or two adults wherever you go that perhaps haven't been fully immersed in water. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Is that okay? Yeah. So let's go to the book of Colossians, which is part of our series that I've been doing. And I'd like to look at my title this morning. So Baptism is Through Faith. Say it with me. Baptism is through faith. So I think that's a really important a title, which I'm going to explain a little bit. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, we're going to go there. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Wow, that's a lot of words up there, Jay, isn't it? So let me read it to you. Don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world, and not from Christ. For in Christ, the fullness of God lives in a human body, and you are complete through your union with Christ. He is the Lord over every ruler and authority in the universe. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. It was a spiritual procedure, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. Anyone glad they're alive with Christ today? He forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross of Christ. Who's glad for the cross of Christ? Incredible passage of scripture that Paul writes here. And so baptism is through. You've all gone to sleep on me already. Baptism is through? Faith. Say it one more time. Baptism is through? Faith. And on November 9, we're conducting a baptism class. Graham Virt's going to be leading that at 9 a.m. on November 9. So that's 2 weeks, Sunday's time. And so if you haven't been water baptized, it doesn't matter how old you are. It's a great thing to do, which I'm going to explain a little bit more from this passage. If you have not been fully immersed in water, I hope to give you more understanding of that this morning. And if you've been baptized as an infant, that's great. It's great that your parents, it's great that your family wanted you to be baptized and at least have some understanding when you grow up of the knowledge of God, or at least, I guess, the hope that you would. So there's nothing wrong with that in that sense. But I also think that if it's through faith, then we as an individual must be at an age where we accept what Christ has done for us in our life. That we must experience God ourselves so that we have an understanding of why we would want to be baptized. Does that make sense? And so you are baptized based on your own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Colossians has these insights. So the first thing I want to look at this morning is actually circumcision. All the men said, ouch. Because there's a great scripture here. Colossians 2, verse 11. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. It was a spiritual procedure, the cutting away of your sinful nature. And so Paul uses some quite vivid language here. He's talking, and in fact, he's pulling back from Genesis 17:12, where it says this: every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. It was a covenant that between God and man. It was called the covenant of circumcision. The terms given, or the law, was that Abraham and his sons be circumcised on the eighth day. And through that, so number one, just do it, God was saying, because that shows that you're a part of me, you and your family, as the male is circumcised. And second, through following this procedure, this physical act was significant because God gave Israel a promise. And God promised to give them Canaan for perpetual possession. What that means is that they were going through this procedure, through all the males being circumcised, through them doing what God wanted them to do. You know, sometimes it's good just to obey God. Sometimes we don't have to believe it. Or you know, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I think, because there's another story I want to talk about, but, you know, man, why would you want to go through that pain if you don't have to? Yeah? You're all very quiet this morning. Are you listening? That's the main thing. And so I just, you know, it's a promised land possession. And this is a really interesting point, and I want to talk about it. But who, just even before we get to it, because I'm going to talk about a little story before we move on this. Even before we get there, part of our faith in God, and why Paul links circumcision with baptism as like a covenant thing, as something that we follow through on. It's the word of God. It's a command in many places in the Bible. We're going to look at that as well. But if it means that we are actually separated from this world and we have a new world possession, we are going to the promised land. And in the Old Testament, it signified that they got come out from the Exodus of 40 years of eating nothing. And all of that not having much to great abundance and blessing. But it also means for us, as those living in the 21st century, that we have the power of God in our lives, and we not only have it for today, but we have it for our promised land. We are with Christ forever through faith. Say it with me, through faith. I am convinced that to be in the promised land, we've got to live through faith the rest of our lives. Does that make sense? We can't just make a decision and then expect that God is going to suddenly pick us up when we actually do not have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a big difference between actually an act, which we're going to talk about, and actually having an internal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's this famous passage in Joshua 5 where Joshua reestablishes covenant with God and the people. There were an immense number of young men, 20 and under, who had not been circumcised through the 40-year wilderness period. In fact, as I was looking at the commentaries on this, they basically had gone completely into unbelief. They had decided, because of the hardship and because, well, you know, God was still feeding them, but they decided that they weren't going to follow him, and so they'd just forgotten this entire principle of blessing. That as they were circumcised, that they would actually move into the promised land. So in fact, they were delaying what God had for them. Interesting, hey? And so when we move in faith in doing what God asks us to do, we are not delaying, but we are empowering God inside of us and even externally, as in the Old Testament, to move on our behalf. Who'd like God to move on your behalf? How does that happen? Through faith. And so the elders, I'm guessing the dads who had been circumcised on the eighth day way back before they went into the wilderness, sharpened their flint knives, which is basically a piece of stone, and circumcised all their sons at Gibeath Haraloth, which literally means hill of foreskins. It took all day, and I'm guessing all night, because it was a 24-hour period. They piled them up, and it's known today still as a hill of foreskins. And the Bible says they rested in the camp. And the very next day, get this, what have they started to do? They started to obey what God had asked them to do. The very next day, they no longer ate manna, but the good of the land. Wow. They were set free from their past after their circumcision. And there's similarities here. You are set free from your past after baptism. It's both an act, but also there's a lot more in the New Testament, which we're going to talk a little bit more about as we go on this morning. They were set free from their past after circumcision. Wow. And through their obedience to God, God blessed Israel for following the covenant he had set back with Abraham in Genesis 17:12. It shall be a sign of the covenant, he said, between you and me. And today Paul is describing that we are set free from the debt of sin when we are buried with Christ through the waters of baptism in Colossians 2:12. And so there are parallels between circumcision and baptism. And God wanted his people to follow covenant in the Old Testament, and that brought blessing to the people as a whole. God commands us to be baptized in the New Testament. Peter, under the power of the Holy Spirit, led 3,000 people to Christ. But that wasn't the end. This is what he said. Each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God. And what's that next phrase? And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And the Bible goes on to say that they were added to the church, 3,000 members. So it's actually also, baptism is a sign that you're not only making a decision to believe in what Christ has done for you, but it's significant because now through your faith, you are going to put your faith into action and belong to the house of God and work out purposefully your faith through the house of God. Yeah? Isn't that a cool thing that God has for us? And so, therefore, you don't simply go through the motions and continue your life as you please. You can't. It's a bit like Saul after his encounter with God on the Damascus Road in Acts 22:16. And now, why delay? It says, get up. So he's been actually smashed by God. He's on the ground. He's had lightning bolts. He's been totally obliterated. He's blind. He says, the Lord speaks to him and says, get up and be baptized and have your sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. So when we go through baptism, what are we actually saying we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives? Calling on the name of the Lord. We're not calling on any other spirit thing or a person or a soulmate. We are calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the one who sets us free. It should be noted that Paul in Philippians, since Paul wrote Colossians also, says that he was exceptionally zealous. And this is before he was with Christ, all right? So this is he's talking about the law. Look at this, or listen to me. He was exceptionally zealous and obeyed the law without fault, including being circumcised on the eighth day. In terms of the law, he said, you couldn't be more righteous than me. But then in Philippians 3:9, he says this, I became righteous through faith in Christ. So he's saying, I thought I was righteous, but now I know I'm righteous through my faith in Christ. I no longer count my own goodness. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't count on your own goodness. I no longer count on my own goodness or my own ability. That's a good saying, isn't it? I know Christ through faith. My righteousness to God comes by faith. His mighty power in my life is by faith. And I'm just looking around the auditorium, just a quick intermission or just a bit of a point. There may be people here I've just recognised that are thinking about being baptised who aren't here this morning. Can you ask them to go to the C3 Facebook page if you've got friends? Not Facebook page, what's it called, Jared? Our website, our church website, and you can actually download the message. It'll be up there. You can watch that, I'd say, probably later today. So that's for those who haven't been able to be here this morning. And so Paul says, I know Christ through faith. My righteousness to God comes by faith. His mighty power in my life is by faith. So what God has done for us, as we've had a bit of a look at that verse from circumcision to baptism, so what God has actually done for us. Colossians 2:14, Paul says, he cancelled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross. There's nothing more powerful than the death of Christ that's ever happened. There isn't an event that can beat it. It's the most powerful and significant thing that has ever happened in history. And there's two points about this. The first enemy defeated was the certificate of debt that was filed against us in the courtroom of heaven. There was no way out for our sin and rebellion against God until the cross of Christ. Jesus nailed our deep debt on the cross. It happened in history, objectively, outside of us. And the second enemy defeated was a host of evil spiritual beings, the devil and his forces. It says in 2:15, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities. Jesus made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. It was a lethal blow. Satan cannot destroy us. I'm not sure everyone's convinced here this morning. Who has hard times in their life? I do. James, you have hard times? Why aren't you sitting with your wife? What's going on here? You two are funny. Good couple. You know, by the way, just another intermission. A great article in the Fremantle Herald this week. Who saw it? And Susan and friends, well done. Thank you for taking the time. You know, these things take a lot of time, but it's a great article. And it talks about our church and how we're helping. So if you haven't got a community newspaper, it has gone out. I believe the Canning Vale people got it because someone told me this morning. So that's cool, isn't it? Where was I? The second enemy, the spiritual powers. See, we can fight spiritually and overcome this world through the work of Christ in us. So we may have problems. And we will have problems, but we know that we cannot, through Christ, be defeated. We may even be martyred if we live in other countries. It's probably not likely here. But we cannot be defeated because our spirit goes where? With Christ. And so, whatever our situation, Christ has taken it on the cross. We actually go to be with him forever. And so that should give us hope that no matter what we are doing in our life, and maybe it's a serious thing and we're fighting some evil power, a bit like it's happening in Syria now, right now, we can. If I was there, we'd fight with all our life. And if we do end up dying, well, we thank Jesus because we go to be with him, and that is actually life-giving. Yes? Some of you are not sure? Wouldn't like to be in that position. I'm glad that we're not. But if we were, Christ will prevail. Come on. Christ will prevail. Will he not? Christ will prevail. Whether Ebola wipes out more people, Christ will prevail. And so I'm grateful that we, because of Christ, we can warfare from here. I was thinking about that song that we sung this morning, and that Christ is prevailing as we sing, and it's going through the airways of heaven, and spiritually we're taking back ground in Liberia. Because Christ prevails in us. You know, I heard a story just this Thursday from Jason Schrader, who's coming next week. If he tells this story next week, pretend that you've never heard it before. He'll tell it better anyway, because I only got a few details. But this is Christ prevailing, right, in our world, in Western Australia, in Perth. Some of you know this man, Craig Carpenter, and his wife. They had a baby, but it was born with no brain function. And the doctors were expecting it to be a vegetable, and that's what the MRI showed. Craig, the dad, the new dad, went to war, Jason said. What does that mean? What do you think that means today? Do you think he actually went to war with a gun? He went to war in the spirit, which is what Paul is talking about in Colossians as well. He actually took on spiritual armor, as it talks about in Ephesians 6. He put on the armor of God. And he actually prayed and prayed for day after day. The church fasted. And I would just like to give you a little bit of good news as a result of that. Last weekend, the baby was in church. And apart from a tube for feeding, it is totally normal. And they are expecting to bring it up like any other normal child. Come on. To God be the glory. And like I said, if Jace does talk about it next week, you've never heard it before. Hope he doesn't listen to three, what God has done. What God has done in us. Who's glad God's done something in you? Who's got some hope inside their heart? And so the cross of Christ is not just historical and external to us. Like, if you like, it doesn't really matter. But it also transforms us on the inside. 2:13, then God made you alive with Christ. The important part is with Christ. And so it can't just be a belief, can it, if it's with Christ? God made you alive what? With Christ. It's not something that can be just head knowledge. It's something we experience because we have Christ. We were spiritually dead and he made us alive. This is the miracle of the new birth. 2 Corinthians 4:6, there's this great little scripture I found in relation to this. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made us understand that this light is the brightness of the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And so God spoke a word into your heart. Who's glad God's spoken a word or two into your heart? He speaks that word and you come alive. His resurrection life is light in an otherwise darkened world. Charles Finney, the innovative revivalist in the 1800s in America, said, sinners are ignorant of themselves. Their ignorance is a natural consequence of their ignorance of the law of God. The world is in great spiritual darkness. It is Christians. Who is it? It is Christians under God who are to enlighten it. If the world is not enlightened, it is the fault of the Christians. It goes without saying that our personal enlightenment comes through both obedience to the word of God. And that's great where the Old Testament flows into the new. We still got to have obedience. We can't just keep doing our own thing, because otherwise it's not through faith, is it? It's through what we want to do. Well, that's not faith. And so we must adhere still to the word of God, because that is what brings life, resurrection life. That is what brings healing to those who don't have healing right now. It's the thing that actually transports people into the zone of Christianity that may not be Christians right now. It's because it's inside of us. It's our faith in Christ that takes us from doing this out of duty to doing them on purpose and with joy. And so, four, the difference between circumcision and baptism. Let me nail this home this morning. Colossians 2:11. In him you were also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by circumcision of Christ. The difference between circumcision and baptism is that baptism is a circumcision without hands. Something new is happening with the people of God called his church. They are being created by God. They are being raised from the dead by God. And therefore, baptism is not repetition of circumcision, because God's people are being constituted in a new way, no longer by physical birth, but by spiritual birth. Fruit Juice Australia. Who likes drinking fruit juice? Fruit Juice Australia say that the most common question asked is, what is reconstituted? Oranges are squeezed. This is what they say. Oranges are squeezed using machines much like that found in the home. The juice is then condensed by removal of water using heat. The resultant concentrate is transported to factories around Australia where the water is added back to the concentrate. This process is called reconstitution. The primary reason for using reconstituted juice is economic transportation and to ensure availability all year round. Are you listening? Cool. Juice is condensed by removal of water using heat. When we accept Jesus into our heart, when we repent, he removes our excesses. We become raw, as it were, on the inside once more. He heats us up on the inside by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. He is a consuming fire that cannot be extinguished. He removes the excesses in our heart. He transports us into a world through the word of God spoken into our hearts. Faith takes root on the inside of us. We are available to him all year round. And like Finney said, we enlightened our world through the word in us. And so whether you've been baptized for years and years and years, it's good to have a wake-up call and go, you know what? I've got to use what I have inside of me. I have resurrection life that is going to transform other people's lives. I have hope in really desperate situations in my family, but I can trust in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will trust in what he has done on the inside of me, and I am going to spark it alive again. Like grab one of those things, that, you know, what are they called? Those things that the world has used. Bang, bang. Shh. Some of you have been dormant for too long. Ignite the power of God within you. You didn't get baptized for nothing. You got baptized to be a person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to transform this world. It is not the New Testament rite of baptism. It is a New Testament spiritual event of the circumcision. Of Christ cutting away the old sinful body of flesh, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So it's not a physical thing only. It is a reliance on the Holy Spirit to live a transformed life through Christ. In 1 Peter 3:21, this is the picture of baptism. which now saves you by the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Baptism is not a removal of dirt from your body. It is an appeal to God from a clean conscience. And this, Peter says, is a picture of baptism. Peter is referring to Noah and his family coming out of the flood. The eight people on board the ark knew that they were different than all the other people in the world because they put their faith in God. They were saved. Everyone else was critical. There was thousands of people on the earth and they just laughed at Noah and he's making this big boat that they said wouldn't float. And they were saved because they believed what God had said would happen. And the wickedness of the people was gone. The eight would start over. It was a fresh start. It was a new beginning. The old was gone. We bury ourselves at the cross of Christ, at the foot of the cross, if you like. And we come up out of those waters, resurrected in faith, calling on the name of the Lord who transforms us day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, day out. We have no fear of death. We're resurrected. And so faith is a conscious experience of the heart yielding to the work of God. Christ died and rose again to cancel our debt with God and a triumph over Satan. Christ raises spiritually dead people from the grave and circumcises sinful hearts. And this is the best reason for baptism in water. And he does all this through faith. He brings us to trust him. And so I need to say this as we finish up this morning. Why don't you come, Janelle? Thank you. Infants cannot take on circumcision through faith. It is not something that infants can experience. And once we trust him, his desire is that we express that faith in baptism. Christ himself was baptized. He led the way for us. In Galatians 3:26, let me give you this scripture. But now that faith in Christ has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. So you are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have been made like him. If you want to express your faith through this step, please register with Claire at the information desk. And let's see adults, not so young, and children be baptized on November 16. We're planning on having a spa here somewhere on that morning. And so full obedience to Christ is through faith. And so wherever you are this morning, let's reconnect or just empower ourselves in Christ again today and say, Lord, why don't we stand to our feet? Dear Lord Jesus, with everything within us, for those of us that have been baptized, for everything that is within us, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that it's an act that we can look back on and go, you know what? I'm not the same. My old life is buried. I'm a brand new person. I receive of your resurrection life afresh this morning. Come into my heart afresh this morning. I trust you this morning. Lord, I pray that I will live my life through faith. Through faith. The people of God said, amen. Amen. Why don't we sing? You know what? I'd love to sing that. What's that new song, that spiritual warfare song?